Thank you, and thank you for those excellent questions. I'll walk through most of them, I think. On the colleague's reference to the right to health and the issue of microplastics, yes, you're absolutely right. And I think the good thing that we do have is that there seems to be no controversy to refer into the objective of the treaty as protection of human health and the environment from plastic pollution. So that seems to be generally agreeable. But as my colleagues have just mentioned, the article on health, however, remains very controversial, and there are different views in terms of whether or not there should be a separate article addressing the issue of health as kind of an overarching provision. Having said that, we do have a number of provisions that address specifically the issue of microplastics, and that is currently in Article 3 on plastic products, where microplastics, albeit at the moment in brackets, but we hope there will be some criteria for future determination, whether it's national level or global level, of which products need to be regulated, and those that use microplastics are among those. Among them, Article 5 on plastic product design, as well the use of microplastics as one of the criteria that requires improvement in design, and then also the Article 7 currently on releases and leakages into the environment, and that also relates to microplastics, intentionally added microplastics. So we do have some regulatory measures foreseen, and hopefully that will remain in the text that address that issue. But yes, the issue of article on health still remains controversial. On the question about the role of the report, I do very much hope we are not talking about 2027. The treaty negotiation timeframe. We do hope to conclude it in 2025. Having said that, you know, a treaty or this treaty is not the end of the process. It's very much the beginning of the process. And where it will come to really making difference is when member states start implementing the treaty, or when the treaty pushes further implementation, because in a lot of member states you do already have measures to address plastic pollution to a larger or smaller extent. And so the idea of the treaty is to create some sort of a level playing field with some sort of minimum standards, and countries are very much encouraged to go beyond that. But it is when the treaty is being implemented that the issues of how and where human rights safeguards need to be there, whether they are related to the impact of plastic pollution on human rights, or the impact of mitigation measures on human rights. And I think that that's also important to look at. So so I think this report is very much timely. Whatever you have that would inform the negotiations certainly would help in 2025. But more importantly, it will be to help countries to start implement this treaty at the national level. And that also relates to the question that was raised with regard to the references to human rights and whether member states are aware of their obligations, those that are negotiating the plastics treaty, whether they are aware of their obligations related to human rights and how to link those two. Well, these are our states, your member states. Yes, of course, we are TUNEP very much aware of the importance of having human rights language in the treaty. But I was part of the negotiations of the Paris Agreement. I supported particularly negotiations on the preamble and objective of the treaty. And I can tell you this was a very strong battle until the very end in Paris, until that second week where we were not quite sure what will happen with the language on human rights and the preamble of the Paris Agreement. So it is very, very strongly in the hands of you, of member states, how you bring it to the table. But what very often happens is people who come to negotiate Paris, for example, are climate negotiators. They're not human rights negotiators. they have their own views and agenda. They come to Paris or Bonn and they say, well, why should we address human rights? That should be addressed in Geneva. Then you come to Geneva and member states are saying, well, you know, why should we be addressing climate change here? That should be addressed in Bonn. So that fragmentation and those sort of the silos at the national level among the negotiators is a big problem. It's not only a problem in plastics negotiations, it's across the board. So it is very much in your hands and how you compose delegations, because in plastics treaties, we do have primarily chemicals negotiators, interestingly enough, or foreign affairs negotiators. So how they are informed by national positions related to human rights, it is something that is very much in the hands of member states themselves. I think that's one of the important points. On the issue of the indigenous people's knowledge and traditional knowledge, I think there is a wealth of that. There is a wealth of that knowledge. And it is recognized currently in the treaty because you do have all those provisions that refer to the use of and relying on that knowledge. But I think it is about providing space for, or rather having obligations that provide an enabling environment. That's what you need at the national level, because let's be honest, plastic is a very cheap material, right? It's very hard to compete with. It is also very heavily subsidized. So it is also an issue of financial flows and how financial flows are addressed both at national and global level. But it is very hard to compete with. The other aspect there is that there is a lot of discussion about having 100% proof that an alternative material doesn't create other problems. And in some cases, in some situations, it is a very valid question. But if you look for that 100% proof, you will never be able to use any alternative material. So it is also about balancing, because we already know plastic has health impacts, environment impacts, all kinds of workers' impacts and everything else. So it is about a balanced approach and an enabling environment. And if the treaty has helps countries to create that, I think there is a big space for traditional knowledge, indigenous people's knowledge, but also innovation at the industrial level. I think we need that. We're not going to end plastic, we're trying to end plastic pollution. So it is about, if we are producing plastic, how do we make it better? How do we make it less toxic? And how do we use it rationally rather than just flooding ourselves with it? Thank you.